Never in the history of this cup, I would suggest, have we had such rule complications. And never in the history of this cup has a defender tried to impose such bizarre rules as wind limits on the racing. As one recent example that I'll give you. The deed of gift is pretty clear. It gives each party various rights and or benefits. And one of the benefits that the defender gets is it gets to select the venue. And the challenger generally gets to select the timing of the event. Nowhere in the deed of gift does it give the defender the right to also select the wind conditions that the boats will race in. They get enough of an advantage selecting the venue. And yet, what do we see today? We see a situation where they're trying to impose wind limits on the competition. And not only that, the measurement is at, lo and behold, 60 metres. 60 metres? I would suggest that the race committee will not have the capability to measure the wind heights at 60 metres, even if they should. And let me tell you why they've done that and why it's so important, because people say, well, how come we've got all these disputes? How come it's ongoing? The reason it's so important is I can tell you now, Alinghi's boat is very, very fast in light winds, and our boat is very, very fast in strong winds. That's the way it's turned out after all this development from both teams. And what I'd suggest is so much so that it may not even be a close race. If we get very light winds, I'd suggest that Alinghi's going to have a pretty big advantage. And if we get stronger winds, I'd suggest that the advantage looks to me like it'll swing the other way. And so nowhere in the deed of gift does it give the defender the right to choose the wind limits. Yet here they are trying to impose it on the competition to suit themselves and create a totally one-sided competition. And so that's why we've had to go to the international jury to try and resolve some of this stuff. You guys, I was saying before, but guys and ladies, imagine if you had in sports the situation where one of the parties all of it could decide to change the rules at any time. Imagine in a football match if one of the players suddenly decided, hey, look, you know what, it'd be much better for me if I had the right to pick the ball up and run with it. Well, it wouldn't be football anymore, it'd be rugby or something else. And Mr. Bertarelli used the example of a sales the other day, saying that if they're not allowed to use their sales, it's like Roger Federer not being able to use his tennis racket. But Roger Federer doesn't go to Wimbledon and try and attempt to use an illegal tennis racket. He plays by the same rules as all the other contestants in the match. And what's even more bizarre about this is the other side saying, hey, listen, let's just go and race. Let's just go and race and we'll sort all these issues out afterwards. Well, let's stick with the tennis example for a moment and imagine that one of the tennis players turned up to Wimbledon and said, hey, look, yes, okay, there's a dispute over my tennis racket, but let's just play the game. Let's just play the tournament. And after the end of it, we'll let the rules officials sort this out, and we might have to reverse the result. But you know, let's just get this thing, get this battle back on the tennis court where it should be. Can you imagine a more bizarre situation than that? It's just totally unacceptable. So we're asking for the rules to be sorted out before the event, and frankly, I don't think that's unreasonable. And certainly the way we read the deed of gift, constructed in country is one of the fundamental rules. Constructed in country does not mean building your sails in Minden and then claiming that they're Swiss made. Somebody gave me the example today that this might be a little bit like baking a cake. If you create the ingredients yourself, you put the ingredients, you mix the ingredients up, you then put it in a mould, you then cook the cake, you then pull it out of the mould. And then it's a cake, right? It's certainly a cake at that point. I think most of us would agree on that. And then you take it somewhere else and you put the icing on the cake and you put some candles on it. And you say, oh, well, by putting the icing on the cake and putting the candles on it, you know, that was actually really making the cake. All the rest of it didn't matter. And so what I'm saying to you is there's been rules in this competition now for 158 years. you know, since this race started. Important rules that we believe one side should not unilaterally be able to ignore at their whim and be able to change the rules to suit themselves. And so, ladies and gentlemen, that's what this whole argument has been about from day one. And when you look back even to the early days of settlement opportunities that there's been, we've created what I believe, right up until recent days, some very reasonable settlement opportunities. And in fact, when you look at our latest complaint about their sales, we've even offered them more time, if they needed it, to create deed legal sales in Switzerland. And I would suggest that they can do that. Of course they can do that. I think most people that are connected with sailing in this room know that they can build deed compliant sales in Switzerland. That's all we're asking. And we even offered them a little bit more time to do that. And what do? They turn around and say, oh, see, these guys are trying to delay the event. Well, I'll tell you something. If that's the way they want to be, we'll go racing on February the 8th and we won't give them more time to build their sales if that's what they want. Okay? So I think that was a very generous offer. And I spoke to Mr. Ellison about that offer to try and, one, sort the rules out before the competition starts, and two, make them a reasonable offer so that they can still come to the water with a decompliant and legal boat and race us. Okay? If they don't want to do that, then frankly, we're not going to allow them to break the rules as they like in this competition. And I feel very strongly, I've never before been at any sailing regatta where one of the competitors tries to determine what wind conditions you should race in, or tries to change the fundamental rules, or turn up with an illegal sail in the competition, and then expect the other competitors to all say, you know what, that's okay, let's just go race this race on the water. That's not happening. The problem with this situation is Ernesto Bertarelli is allergic to racing under fair rules. That's the problem with this competition at the moment, ladies and gentlemen. And if it just race under fair rules, then yes, we can get this competition on the water and you'll see two great teams doing battle. And what I'd probably suggest is a lot of it's going to be wind dependent. I think there's going to be an even bigger difference in the boats to what I thought there'd be depending on those wind conditions. Clearly Alinghi's geared up towards light winds, much more so than we thought, and we're probably conversely much more geared up towards winds in the upper range than what they thought. So that's unfortunately the situation that we've got today. From my point of view as a sailor that's been in the sport for a long time and absolutely loved competing and racing in yacht races, and I love to compete hard and race against the best in the world, from my point of view, this is not necessarily the sailing competition that I would have liked. I think you've all seen me race in America's Cup before, and I've loved the competition where you've got a close boat race and it's an equal mix of sailing talent versus design technology. This regatta, ladies and gentlemen, it's no secret, it's all about technology. And I think at the end of it, and it's going to be all about the weather. And at the end of the day, I'm sorry to say, but aside from breakages and major crew mistakes, the crew that goes on each boat is not going to be the determining factor here. The difference in the speed of these boats is going to be the determining factor. So, you know, I mean, really, I've got this to say to Mr. Bertarelli, you know, on behalf of Mr. Ellison. You know, Larry's a highly respected and highly successful businessman, and Ernesto might wish he was the same as Larry. And no matter who wins this competition, that's not going to change. And Larry Ellison's still going to be recognised as one of the most successful businessmen in the world, no matter what happens. And as far as I'm concerned, at the end of the day, we'll see the team that's developed and the best technology and the best boat that'll win this competition. So, questions. As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm tired of the immature, stupid cartoons and personal attacks that are coming out of the other side. And I've restrained myself for 2.5 years. But I'm not going to put up with this rubbish any longer. You know, the fact of the matter is, we haven't been the ones printing obnoxious cartoons and criticising the other party. We've been trying to stick to the arguments that this is about running a fair competition and about having proper rules. And it's about time the other side actually started answering some questions as to why they can't accept the rules that have been written for a long, long time now.